Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Music of Franz Joseph Haydn, The Wanderer, performed by Andreas Scholl countertenor with pianist Tamar Halpern from his newest album, Wanderer. Our guest today is celebrated and much lauded countertenor Andreas Scholl. His newest album, Wanderer, explores repertoire by Mozart, Haydn, Schubert, and Brahms. Noted Israeli pianist Tamar Halpern accompanies Mr. Scholl. Oddly enough, both artists extend their interests and repertoire into the jazz idiom as well. Mr. Scholl made his debut in 1998 at the Glyndebourne Festival, singing the role of Bararido in Handel's Rodelinda. Stupendous reviews followed in Paris and the Met in New York in 2006, when he repeated the role opposite Renee Fleming. Many recordings received many awards, including multiple Grammys, the Diapason d'Or, the Telerama and Echo Awards, and the Edison Awards in the Renaissance category. Mr. Scholl appears December 5th in Steinman Hall in the Ware Center in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and in Lincoln Center at Alice Tully Hall on December 8th as part of the Great Performer Series. Welcome to Crossover, Andreas Scholl.
Hello.
I was so terribly moved by your exquisite album, The Wanderer. That's the new one. You are a countertenor, and of course that conjures up all kinds of ideas that are not really valid anymore because that was such a specific realm. Tell us a little bit about how you started and got involved in this. You were a singer in the boys' choir when you were very young.
Yes, I started at the age of 7 in a boys' choir in a little town in Germany called Kiederich. It's about 4,000 inhabitants there. And we have a choral tradition that dates back for about 700 years.
Yes, 1300 or something.
Exactly.
It started, yeah.
And so it's a big tradition, and as it happened, my father, grandfather, my older brother, they were all singing in this choir, and at the age of 7, naturally, I joined the choir, which is virtually just across the street from where I grew up. And so every day we would have singing lessons, and every Sunday we would sing a mass in church with Gregorian chant and motets. And at the age of 14, I think the voice broke, and I kept on singing in my head voice, which is the high voice,
probably
my children's voice, one could say. Mm-hmm. And then I kept on singing in that high voice, although the speaking voice, as you hear now on the phone, it dropped to a natural baritone. And the vocal coach of the choir said, "Wow, that's interesting. Now you're 15, 16, 17, and you're still singing in this alto voice, the high voice. Probably you're a countertenor." That was actually the first time I heard the term countertenor.
Yes.
I realized that there's men who, grown-up men who sing with this high voice, not just boy sopranos or boy altos, yes.
Well, I must say this. Again, one thinks of Farinelli all the time, you know. But I heard in your voice, there was, it's an exquisite, you know, upper register there, but I did hear there was a quality that was underneath there that was darker, you know, and I thought that was quite beautiful. I mean, it wasn't, one always, you know, thinks of a countertenor as really an alto, as you say. I guess it's the same range.
Yeah.
But the repertoire, of course, is very, very limited, isn't it?
limited in a sense that there's, of course, specialty repertoire that is ideally suited for the countertenor voice, which is mainly, I would say, English Renaissance lute songs like John Dowland.
Yes.
Like Sting recorded a beautiful John Dowland album a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry Purcell and English early Baroque music, and maybe all kind of Handel oratorios and operas and Bach oratorios and passions. But of course, that alone is a vast repertoire. And moving out of the Baroque era towards the Romantic era is usually something that countertenors don't do, because, well, somehow as a in other Fach, you would have something that is best or what is considered to be best for your voice. But then, of course, there's curiosity, and at times, then I allow myself to venture into a different repertoire.
Change thy mind, since she doth change. Let not fancy still abuse thee. Thy untruth cannot seem strange when her falsehood doth excuse thee. Love is dead and not free. She doth live but dead to thee. Love is dead and not free. She doth live but dead to thee. Once she loved thee best a while. See how she hath still delayed thee. Using shows her to beguile those vain hopes that have deceived.
Music of Robert Dowland, the son of the great lutenist John Dowland. Change Thy Mind, Since She Doth Changed, Andreas Scholl, countertenor, performing. Well, the countertenors, of course, in those old days where, I mean, women were not allowed to perform, I think. So I think that's how that all that started. And of course, in the operatic roles, they were sung by countertenors. But nowadays, again, I think one doesn't expect to hear the countertenor do more than the Baroque repertoire somehow. And here you are. Not only are you singing Schubert and, you know, Brahms and Mozart, but you're also a composer as well. And you're going into other areas as well. And I think that's really kind of exciting. The Vandra, of course, is a very profound album, and the mood is very, very profound. Was there a reason that you wanted to do this? Is it that it hasn't been done by a countertenor?
That was not the most important aspect of it. To me, I'm singing core Baroque and Renaissance repertoire, like the core countertenor repertoire, for more than 20 years now. I wanted to see whether my musical convictions and my instinct also that I developed over the years could be applied to a different repertoire. And the funny thing is that actually the approach, how you tackle, one could say, an aria or a song is the same, independent of the repertoire. The questions that you have to ask yourself as a singer are the same ones. It's what's at the root of this song? It's usually the poem is more important than the music. I mean, if great poets and great composers work together, the wise composer will always say, I serve the words. My composition is there to serve the words. So there's always a strong rhetorical aspect about these poems set to music. And then the questions are, who am I when I sing this? Am I talking to myself? Am I talking to my lover, who's of course not present on stage in that moment? How can I, with maximum impact, deliver this message, the contents of this poem to the audience, and then of course to apply the necessary vocal tools? And these are the same questions as I have to ask if I prepare John Dowland lute song, Or if I look into a Brahms song, if I have a song like Es ging ein Maidlein zarte, then it's a storyteller who says, well, there was this girl and she went out to the garden to pick some flowers and then death appears and death speaks. So I change the voice a little bit. It's as you would dramatize this story if you would read it to an audience as well.
Yes. Music of Franz Schubert, we heard Death and the Maiden, Der Tod und das Mädchen, with Andreas Scholl, countertenor, performing, and pianist Tamar Halperin. I'm going to ask you a rather naive question. I mean, when people, you have a special audience that knows the countertenor and the countertenor repertoire and knows what to expect. Do you ever have audiences that don't know what to expect?
At times. In the usual context that where I perform, I mean it's printed countertenor on the concert brochure and on the tickets, and people know what to expect. But sometimes there were a few places where I was obviously the first countertenor to perform ever. So I remember a concert in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia, and I think later somebody told me I was the first countertenor to ever sing there, and there were a few people in the audience who started laughing, women especially, in one of the first rows, they just started laughing when I started to sing. And in a way, it was distracting. It didn't insult me or anything. I have to admit that, of course, I understand these reactions. If you're not used to a man singing in this high voice, it might be a bit confusing. Strangely enough, it's mainly confusing for the classic music audience. If you look into pop music,
they'll accept a lot of things.
Exactly. Yeah. In pop music, the high male voice is an accepted instrument. But in classical music, not. So I agree that the first moment, if you have never heard it, is a bit of a surprise. You see a tall man, and you expect him to sing like this, and not to sing like this. And then that kind of... it's confusing for the audience since it kind of crosses the lines of what we think how a man should sound, behave, and that's always confusing for an audience.
Did you ever hear of an artist called Tiny Tim?
Yes, of course.
Yes, of course. And of course, he came out with his little ukulele, and it was all a spoof, but he actually was singing in a high voice.
Yeah.
And of course, it's certainly not a countertenor. But I guess that's where the audience is embarrassed too, because they don't really know and they don't know how to react.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I mean, as far as the emotion of a song and the feelings, that of course that transcends everything. I mean, the beauty of love and of loss and you know all kinds of poetic you know emotions. That of course. You feel when I heard of this album, I was very, very moved by it. But I was very interested to know exactly if this is still a natural voice for you.
For me, it should be, and it has to be a natural voice for every countertenor. The second there's an artificiality, something is not right. My teacher says always, Richard Levitt, from Los Angeles, and Richard says, the art is to make it not sound like an art. And so for me, the countertenor voice is the natural continuation of my child's voice, in a way. So I never stopped singing in that voice, and I feel less expressive if I were to be asked if I were asked to sing in a baritone voice. I can sing baritone, but to me it would feel like I don't have the same amount of expressivity in the baritone that I have in the alto voice.
Now, is there a difference in the way you would sing? I mean, are you a tenor or a baritone,
in a male voice?
So, is there a difference in the production? That's what I'm, I guess, what I'm trying to find out. Or is this just a you've developed this natural feeling? You know,
yes. And for me, the weird thing is that it's the same vocal cords that produce the baritone register and the countertenor register for me. Strangely enough, when I sing baritone, it feels less natural to me, and it feels a bit awkward. But of course, it's the result of singing the countertenor range for almost 30 years now. And the baritone range is something I rarely use. So I think it's also practice creates flexibility in the voice and makes it more. I don't have to think as a countertenor. I ideally in a concert, you connect with the music, and the preparation plus the spirit of the moment transmit their messages directly to the voice without the intellect negotiating, saying in bar 23 I want to do piano now this comes, but you do that spontaneously. And in the baritone, I think it needs a little bit more of this negotiation between the intellect and the vocal cords.
Musica Franz Schubert, Der Jüngling auf dem Hügel, performed by countertenor Andreas Scholl from the new album Wanderer. Mr. Scholl is accompanied on this album by Tamar Halpern, pianist, harpsichordist, and established as one of Europe's most dedicated and versatile keyboard artists. She's also mastered the harpsichord in jazz, and she has collaborated with other artists in that venue as well. She is a graduate of the Juilliard School with many, many honors to her name. She was awarded the Presser Award, the Star Fellowship. She won the Van Vlaanderen Musica Antiqua of Bruges scholarship as well. And she has a master's degree from the Juilliard School and is currently involved with a well-known German jazz pianist, Michael Walny. Rather interesting that she crosses over into jazz very, very comfortably. Here now, she performs one of the well-known piano works by Johannes Brahms, the Intermezzo in A Major, Opus 118, Number 2. Thank you. Tamar Halpern, pianist, performing the Intermezzo in A Major, Opus 118, Number 2 by Johannes Brahms. Well, of course, what I was going to say is it physically against nature. That's what I guess what we're trying to say is the countertenor is, if you didn't study, would you still be a countertenor? Or in other words, you had your child voice and a beautiful voice, and then you grew as a man and you developed a lower voice. So would you have, if you weren't trained in that way initially, would you still have naturally sung in that range?
If I would have stopped, of course, singing in the head voice during the mutation, during when the voice broke, I would have stopped. I would have lost that capacity. I think the secret of having a countertenor voice for me was to continue singing in this range through the moment when the voice broke, and to keep a flexibility that otherwise, through not using it, would have been simply lost.
But again, your singing, you call it a head voice.
Yeah.
So that's in the head tone, of course.
Yeah.
When you sing, if you sing baritone, you place the voice in a different place, don't you?
Anatomically, we can observe that for the when somebody sings in a countertenor voice, it's the edges of the vocal cords that vibrate, not the entire vocal cords.
Okay.
So there is some kind of anatomical difference, and of course, it's kind of an twice the amount of vibrations, which then makes it sound an octave higher, I think.
I see. Well, you know, when you break it down this way, it's really magnificent, by the way. It's just breathtaking to hear you sing. And, of course, you have won all kinds of awards everywhere. But what I was also very interested in was that you are a composer. I mean, have you written songs in the style of or you know, is this something?
At the age of, 17, I bought my first synthesizer. I was always fascinated by electronic music, electronic sounds, and programming synthesizers and these things. So, and throughout the years, I never stopped doing that. I was, for 7 years, I was a member of the Studio for Electronic Music in the Music Academy in Basel. So while I was studying early music, medieval music, and baroque music, I was working in a contemporary music studio as well. And my compositions in general are, I love to do pop songs, compose my own pop songs. At times I do something that is a little bit more contemporary music style, but that's not my strong talent. I'm more into writing my own pop songs, singing them and arranging them in my recording studio, and I love doing that.
But so when is that album going to come out?
That's a good question. There's a project coming up next year with an Israeli pop singer and wonderful pianist, Idan Reichel. He toured through the U.S. already a few times, and he's a superstar in Israel. I already performed a few times with him on stage, a couple of his songs, and he said he wants to do an album with me. So I think that's going to be the first.
Oh, that sounds fantastic!
First proper pop album, and it's we will start next spring. We start the songwriting process. I will go to Israel, or he comes and visits us in our recording studio at home, and then we will try to get an album together.
And I hope that we can get that album. I would love to speak to you about that.
Sure.
So you are breaking all of the rules, in the sense of, or the barricades, I guess. You're really knocking down the stone walls musically as a singer. I think.
Yeah.
It's wonderful, and it's amazing. Of course, as a countertenor, again, breathtaking, and the repertoire is magnificent. And this, I guess you say Wanderer, is that the way I should pronounce it? Is very moving, and what can I say? You're used to being told that, I think. But again, a pleasure speaking with you, and I look forward to hearing you in concert as well. Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye.
First we met.
We've just heard two canzonettes by Franz Josef Haydn, Recollection and Despair. The actual words were written by Haydn's friend Anne Hunter, who was widow of the famous surgeon Sir John Hunter, and she wrote these verses in a rather soulful and sentimental way, which was the style of the time, of course. We've been speaking with the distinguished countertenor Andreas Scholl, who will be heard in recital December 5th at 8 p.m. at Steinman Hall in the Ware Center in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He'll also be appearing at Spivey Hall in Atlanta, Georgia, and will be giving a pre-concert talk, by the way, as well. That's on December 2nd. And finally, on December 8th at 7:30 p.m., on Lincoln Center's Great Performance Series, that will be at Alice Tully Hall in Lincoln Center. He will be accompanied, of course, by Tamar Halpern on the piano. Here now, Franz Schubert's well-known Ave Maria, performed by Andreas Scholl with Tamar Halpern at the piano. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Patti, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.
Daytime jazz and nighttime classics, WRTI HD2.